You know, I really feel like that opening is missing a harmonica or something. We need a harmonica.
Anyway, a banjo.
A banjo.
There you go.
Well, anyway, hi, everyone. Welcome to Friday Night Live with your hosts, Ben, Rob, and Seth. We're investigative researchers who look into topics the mainstream media can't or won't report on, and then we share what we find with all of you, plus we do a lot of joking around in the process.
And tonight, folks, it is time for an election recap, because boy, was it a crap show. But the question is there more to this DeSantis-Trump feud? Is there any truth to the calls on fraud? And what does Fetterman's neck really show? I mean, what does Fetterman's record really show? We're going to talk about all of this and more tonight.
That's for sure. And then join us on Rise.tv for a dig deep Q&A and the top 10 weirder news of the week. You'll hear stories on VR that can actually kill you, a story of Elvis and time travel, doomsday fish, Bigfoot sightings, and so much more. So you definitely don't want to miss all of that. But for now, let's jump into the election madness of the week and start this Friday Night Live off with a bang.
With a neck.
Well, actually... Yeah, we're going to get into his gun issues.
I so wanted to hear what you were going to say, and then you just totally got that off.
Well, Ben, I'm glad you got my text to wear your white and blue flannel. Thank you for following up with that. Rob seems to still be ignoring my text. So
I guess so.
I just don't have flannels. That's the problem.
I see. So how are you guys doing?
Yes. Good. I mean... Rob, how you doing, man?
Considering the week we've had, I feel great.
Yeah, it's been a weird week.
It's been a ridiculous week. But I have to say, I hate to say this, but I'm not, you know, there's no surprises here. I think the shock of 2020 was too great for me to not think that this was going to be any other way. It's surprising me how shocked other people are. I think I thought everyone knew and agreed how corrupt things were, but other than that, you know, I'm doing pretty well. I feel like the future of the world is not in the hands of these people, so I just keep thinking about that, you know.
Yeah. Well, democracy's dead.
It died in darkness, according to Washington Post.
Democracy died in Rome.
I don't even
that's
know
true.
That means.
Yeah, well, I think we need to really get back to our roots as a true constitutional republic.
I agree.
And I know that there's not. I haven't studied this extensively, but I know there's a lot of the early, you know, a lot of the communists that talked about how democracy is one of the first stages of communism. Mm-hmm. That like it opens up everything. It allows communism to come in because then you start buying votes, you can gain control. And I think that,
it's a breeding ground for just tons of corruption. I mean, look what happened in Greece and Rome. It's awful. You know, like the entire Senates were bought out. It was extravagant and ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Sure.
Yeah, mob rule. Gabe Zendar, mob rule. Yep. But on a brighter note, the midterms are now behind us, which is good. And I think that we are not going to be able to see Nancy Pelosi as much as a speaker.
Why?
Huh?
Why?
Well, she won't be a speaker. They lost control of the House.
Or they lost control of the House.
They should lose control of the House. So,
yeah. You know, they would have lost control. Technically, they shouldn't even control the presidency either. For all practical purposes.
Maybe now she's going to have time to dress up in her underwear and enter the house with a hammer. I mean,
I thought you were going to say dress up in an orange jumpsuit. So
that'd be one costume I'd like to hear. I'm just hoping maybe she can give Paul a little more attention so he's not looking for that outside.
I'm not sure if maybe. She's really his type. Without getting into details,
you were there. She.
So anyway, though, I mean, I guess let's do some quick highlights. My highlight, I would say, just getting through this election, and I'm glad to be past it. And it's like, I mean, it happened how I thought it would happen. You know, my approach is like, there's either going to be a red wave or a stolen election, right? And like that's about, you know, what it is. Like, I was really surprised, even with everything I knew they were going to do, I was so surprised that Fetterman still won. Like, I was like thinking, how are they going to pull this off? And I expect that we're descending into idiocracy.
You know, I figured out how they stole that election. So he hid all the extra votes under that crease in his neck last year. And then when it was time, he just took them out and was like, I got it.
Yeah. I still think he's just a cyborg. And I think he probably just took his head off and probably put it on a...
True.
Yeah, maybe.
That's true. Ben, how was your weekend? What was one of your highlights?
Yeah, good. Actually, so there's this couple that are been huge fans of our show that's in Cape Coral named Chris and Katie. And believe it or not, they have an 11-year-old daughter. Her birthday is today. She's 11 years old on 11-11. So she was born 11-11-11. She's 11 years old today. And she was 11 days late. And her name is Lily.
That's incredible.
They should have named her 11.
Dude, they should have.
From Stranger Things.
And shaved her head. No, please don't.
That should have been her 11th birthday gift.
Yes.
But yeah, so I just wanted to, I connected with them earlier in the week, and I just really wanted to do a shout out. I was like, oh, I'll definitely say happy birthday to Lily since she's 11 today. And that's just crazy. All these 11s. For her. So pretty cool.
Oh, good for
Rob, him. What about you?
I had one a minute ago, but I kind of forgot when we started. I started getting excited talking about 11s.
And Fetterman.
Yeah, Fetterman really excites me. So I end up just losing my you know what every time his name comes up.
Your neck, you can't control it.
I think that's just been it really is you know, my main takeaway from this is a much more like spiritual takeaway, which is that for everything that they're doing, there is an opposite actual react, an opposite
equal and opposite reaction,
equal and opposite reaction. So all of this is going on. It's true. And it's all coming out to the surface. We're seeing corruption that was there for the last 100 years, but that nobody really knew about. It's all coming out. And to me, as bad as it is, as much as I don't like it, there is an opposite side to this whole thing. There's other things that are going on. You can guarantee that it's being arranged that way. And I do not think that the fate of our world or of America or the people of America is going to be decided by the level of knucklehead that we're seeing in this country right now. So it just can't. And it doesn't mean that, you know, things are going to be easy. I'm not saying that. I'm simply saying that there is a better future ahead, and I'm just looking forward to that. And I'm purposely not getting caught up in the drama, which is what they want, and focusing honestly a little bit more on the culture war rather than the political war that's in front of us. Mm-hmm. Because if we can hit the culture, which is, you know, this is why we created Edge of Wonder. If we can actually effectively help change the culture and affect folks and open them up, then we're going to be having a great effect. So that's where I'm at.
Nice.
It's a good place to be.
Yeah.
Let's pull you right out of that place, though, and talk politics.
Talk about everything.
But anyway, back to the politics.
Yeah, I did find some insane things on Fetterman that we'll get into as well that people were sharing. But
more insane than things we've already heard.
I found some crazy stuff, actually.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, you guys are going to be blown away by that.
Neckerman's he's a strange guy, isn't he?
He just needs to change his name to Neckerman.
That's a good one.
Yeah, Necromancer.
Man, I like that. I like that on this show together, we become our 11-year-old selves.
Well, one thing I will say about Fetterman, and just to be fair to him,
the fact that he looks like Anton LaVey.
That's true. No, but you know, like obviously he's been propped up to where he's at. Oh, yeah. My guess is that he does not want to do this. You know, like and when I see him, though,
that could be.
Well, it's like when I see him like up on the debate stage, it's like, even though you see he's very slow to respond and he says some really strange stuff, you guys think there's a guy inside of there that's probably freaking out at that time.
I mean, who wouldn't be in those basketball shorts, those oversized basketball shorts and the hoodie that he's wearing?
I know.
Really?
Well, I have a whole theory on why they needed him so badly now.
Well, so, Ben, the floor is yours, man.
Well, like, I was thinking, I was going to wait till we actually start talking. I guess we could talk about it first.
I think Lindsay made it real big. That way he's just forced to tell us his theory.
Oh, no. Well, okay, so Biden comes out right before the midterm and talks about how they want to shut down the coaling or the coal mining areas, right, in the country to change our energy sector and whatnot. And what is Pennsylvania? Well, I mean, that's like one of the main areas for coal and for energy and power and all of that. I have a feeling that that's why they needed him in there, because they will want to shut the factories down, and he will be the one that can do it.
I still don't understand how private companies can be forced to shut down when
they won't be able to. They honestly won't be able to do that. I mean, it's like Biden saying, oh, we're going to do the student loan forgiveness. And then at the end of the day, you actually can't.
The thing is, though, is that like EPA, like stuff like that, like, yeah, they definitely shut down these companies. I mean, it's a state of where our country's at.
I believe they create an arrangement that forces them to shut down, a political arrangement that sometimes can be, you know, either legislation and or some series of events that occur that you know, force extra costs in certain ways or extra taxes, and then they just shut down.
Yeah.
So, okay, Lindsay, can you pull up the Fetterman and the gun thing? I don't even want to explain this because I had no idea this actually happened. So he pulled a gun, a shotgun.
Oh, yeah, some
innocent
black dude, right?
Black man.
Wait, who did? Fetterman?
Fetterman! Watch this. Yes. He still got elected.
Yeah, you have to wait a second.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Anyway, this did happen in 2013. But the fact that, can you imagine if anybody on the right did that, even on accident, like they would never be forgiven by the left. And it's like, here we are now. So when she pulls this up, I'll show you guys. This is pretty crazy.
How's it going?
And Project Veritas came out with something too today that was about Fetterman. We'll get into.
Here we go.
Right thing, but I may have broken the law during the course of it, and you know, I'm certainly not above the law.
Yeah, new at 6 tonight, the mayor of Braddock admits to pulling a shotgun after chasing a man he suspected of firing a gun near his home, and it turns out that man was just an innocent jogger. Good evening, everybody. I'm Wendy.
Tonight, the big question is the mayor being given special treatment? Only on 4 tonight, reporter Bob Mayo digs into the controversy.
It happened just down the road by Braddock Mayor Fetterman's home when he heard what he thought was assault rifle gunfire. He chased a man that he thought was responsible, then pulled a shotgun to confront him until police arrived.
With my son, my 4-year-old son, and I heard approximately a dozen or more what clearly...
I love how the fact they don't say it's a black man here.
Mayor John Fetterman says he rushed his son inside, called 911, and took off in his truck after a masked man in black he saw running. But Chris Mayeres, the man Fetterman confronted, turns out to be an innocent jogger who police say
that guy does. This guy looks like the most innocent dude ever.
Mayor Fetterman did have a weapon.
A 20 gauge shotgun in the under the back seat of my truck, which I pulled out and I showed to just say, look, we're going to wait here and we're going to get this all sorted out when the police arrive.
Mayeres and the mayor tell very different stories. He says Fetterman
followed me into North Braddock and pulled a shotgun and aimed it at my chest.
Did you point the shotgun at him?
No, how can this dude not get arrested for doing that?
He would see that I was armed, but I did not point it at him. In fact, I didn't even have a round chambered or remove the safety at that point.
For both men, it was frightening. North Braddock's police chief says his officers tell him the shotgun incident was over when they arrived. Mayeres says that's not true. The police tried to laugh it off.
I mean, there's a mayor with a shotgun and six other cops surrounding me. What else could I do but this?
I believe I did the right thing, but I may have...
I did the right thing by like holding up this innocent man with a shotgun pointed to his chest.
Serious entertainment.
He's trying to make it like it's okay. He's trying to justify what he did. I mean, you're the mayor of Braddock in North Braddock with a shotgun.
He's so right. Chief is advising Mayeres to bring his
like, what's he doing with a shotgun to begin with anyway?
So far, Mayeres has not filed a formal complaint with either Allegheny County Police or the District Attorney's Office. In North Braddock, right at the border with Braddock, Bob Mayo, Channel 4 Action News.
Can you get over this? Can you believe this?
Dude.
We live in a clown world. I mean, we really do. Maybe this is like part of like the big plan to help us all wake up by making the world so weird and so
that
crazy.
Dude looked like the least criminal person I've ever seen. Like he was like he just looked like a fit runner just like passing by, and the dude gets a shotgun pulled on his chest. Crazy.
By the mayor, no less.
Oh my god.
It's crazy.
Ugh, Uncle Fester, man.
Okay. And there's one more. Okay. Did you guys see YouTube is taking this down everywhere of the debate between him and Dr. Oz?
Because he was like so, like, because
he couldn't, so incoherent on what he's saying during these questions. And he just looks like an idiot. And he realizes that because he has a stroke. Like, dude, the guy, I mean, of course the guy can't speak very well, but it's like, don't run for office if you can't even speak very well. I don't know. We can show a little bit of this.
There's some pretty funny comments in there right now.
As Lieutenant Governor, you're running for a seat that could decide the balance of power in Washington. What qualifies you to be a U.S. Senator? You have 60 seconds.
Hi. Good night, everybody. I'm running to serve Pennsylvania. He's running to use Pennsylvania.
I do want to clarify something. You're saying tonight that you support fracking, that you've always supported fracking. But there is that 2018 interview that you said, quote, I don't support fracking at all. So how do you square the two?
Oh, I do support fracking. And I support fracking. And I stand and I do support fracking.
Mr. Fetterman, you are first, 90 seconds.
Once again, I would just like to say that my campaign is all about fighting for anyone in Pennsylvania that ever got knocked down, that had to get back up again. You know, I'm also fighting for any forgotten community all across Pennsylvania that ever got knocked down, that had to be made to get back up. You know, I've made my entire career dedicating to those kinds of pursuits. I started as a GED instructor back in Braddock over 20 years ago, because I believe it's about serving Pennsylvania, not about using Pennsylvania for their own end interests as well. To me, careers are revealed by your real underlying values. And my values have always been about fighting for forgotten communities all across Pennsylvania.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Fetterman.
Bill gives states to do what they wish to do. The abortion decision should be left up to states, and specifically when John Fetterman.
You roll with Doug Mastriano.
John, when I'm done, I think John, you'll have your turn, John.
One moment, Mr. Fetterman. Continue, Mr.
Sage has broken the law, we believe. John Fetterman took a shotgun, chased a unarmed African-American man, and put the gun, apparently, according to that man, to his chest. John, you weren't pulled over by the police. They let you go. You were the mayor at the time. Why haven't you apologized to that unarmed, innocent black man who you put a shotgun to his chest?
All right. We will allow a 30-second response to that, Mr. Fetterman, specifically what he was saying, referring to the incident in Braddock.
I made the opportunity to defend my community as the chief law enforcement officer there. Everybody in Braddock, an overwhelmingly majority community of black community, all understood what happened. You know, they understood what happened, and everybody agreed that, and nobody believes that it was anything about me making a split second decision to defend our community as well.
Why not apologize?
Mr. Oz, please. We are still Lindsay, with Mr. Fetterman. Turning to you.
Wow. Yeah. Whoa. It's a clown show, guys. That is certainly. So how about let's jump into what's happening with Carrie Lake, because this is a big deal. What's happening?
Hey, wait,
there.
Before we do that, let's get to a trailer first.
Oh, there you go. Yes. Yep.
So we're going to be showing a trailer right now on the Loch Ness Monster best sighting. So have you ever felt like the politicians on TV have their tentacles and everything? Well, speaking of creatures of the deep, Edge of Wonder did a series on the seas all about Cthulhu, the Kraken, the Loch Ness Monster, and so much more. So check out this trailer for our newest episode that dropped just yesterday, all about Nessie.
Less than a mile from shore, the Loch Ness Monster was spotted. The Iverness Courier newspaper reported in 1933. There, the creature disported itself, rolling and plunging for fully a minute, its body resembling that of a whale, and the water cascading and churning like a simmering cauldron. Soon, however, it disappeared in a boiling mass of foam. Both onlookers confessed that there was something uncanny about the whole thing, for they realized that here was no ordinary denizen of the depths. Because apart from its enormous size, the beast taking the final plunge sent out waves that were big enough to have been caused by a passing steamer. Are Loch Ness Monster sightings real? Do beasts lie beneath the waves of the sea? Join Edge of Wonder for a deep dive into the cryptids of the abyss.
Well, all right, that published just yesterday. And if you guys are watching us on a podcast right now, please leave us a listening. Thank you. I'll get it someday, Ben. If you guys are listening to us, what most podcasters are, please leave us a 5-star rating and review so we can reach more people. And so Carrie Lake, guys.
Yeah, Carrie Lake.
Seth, what do you think? Tell us.
Well, I think that there is the process of stealing the election out there from her. I mean, it's, you know, it's like, it's Maricopa County again. She's there, you know, she's been neck and neck, and not like the Oz Fetterman was like, really, it was like a neck and neck race. This is like a neck and neck race between Hobbs and Lake. And it's, you know, within say 10,000 votes, 20,000 votes, but it's the same, you know, crap that they pulled in 2020, that they're just dragging it out. They're counting it. It's like, why are they still counting votes? It's like, and why is it in the most contentious county with one of those contentious races? Mm-hmm. Well, because people know that, you know, really, like, Arizona was a key state that they stole to put Biden in the White House. And so getting their person as the governor in that state, it's not about like they want Katie Hobbs as a governor. They want Arizona as a weapon to use in 2024, right? And that's the thing, is like what's happening in the playing field right now, it's all about 2024. And so, well, I guess there's also the, you know, aspects of, you know, making sure they don't lose control, lose the Senate, et cetera. But the bigger picture is like, you know, Pennsylvania, Michigan, look at the governors, look at these, look how much cheating happened in these states. These are the areas where I think that we saw massive, voter fraud. Maybe I'll try to get Mike Lindell on to talk about it because he's someone that's really tracking the voter fraud. But it just, to me, it's very clear that Carrie Lake she's a true America first politician, and they don't want that to happen.
Mm-hmm. She did post on her Twitter account. She said, "Bombshell news. Stay tuned." And there was a video that she posted a couple hours ago, but I haven't really seen it. It was like 10 minutes long, and I haven't really seen the video, so I don't really know exactly if there's been an update on this bombshell. And Bombshell and Carrie Lake were both trending on Twitter. In fact, they're still trending. Carrie Lake is trending with over 200,000 tweets.
Yeah, because everyone's tracking her.
I
think that the Bombshell, from what I'm seeing, because I've been following it closely and just checked during the trailer as well, is it just that there's just more votes coming out? Like as they're counting the batches, there's more votes. So, Lindsay, do you want to play something?
That's the video. It's 10 minutes long. I don't know like what the...
I see.
But this is the video that supposedly... I mean, she's saying Bombshell... Election expert Gina Schwarba gives an update on the election in Arizona.
And it says Swoboda.
I'm reading it really small.
Schwarma.
It looks like a U for me. Yeah. I'm like, it's like really small on my screen. So I'm like,
got it. I got it. It's cool.
Because I didn't, it's not in the doc. If it's not in the doc, I have already reading it.
How about let's dig into the Trump DeSantis stuff, because I think this is actually...
Hold on. Before we get through...
All right.
Talk really quick, a little bit more about the Carrie Lake stuff.
Yeah.
Here's what is crazy to me is all of the video evidence of these electronic voting counting things not working, this strange third bucket that these votes could go into... that are getting counted centrally. And then we've got video evidence on cable TV of somebody altering the votes while they're being counted. And it's like all out there. And it wasn't just this one county that had the problems with these machines. Major county had a problem with these machines, and it forced so many people to get out of line. Mm-hmm. Right. And we're to believe, you know, like, there's all of these people thinking like, oh, why wasn't there a red wave? I'm so confused. And it's like, what do you mean you're confused? Like, there's so much evidence of fraud everywhere, you know, and you're confused about what's going on. You feel like the millennials or like the Gen X or Gen Zers actually had something to do with it. I don't think that that's what's going on here. Mm-hmm. I think that there's a lot more to this. And, you know, just look at the evidence that everybody's showing. But of course, you know, somehow these votes being counted by these extremely unreliable machines and these people are somehow considered credible. Is that going to change? I mean, that's just...
That's been the main thing. So many people were in line saying that the voting machines were down. Epoch Times has a report saying that in Mississippi, there was a confirmed cyber attack against the election websites on election day. I'm not sure how to pronounce this, but maybe Washoe. It's Washoe County. It's in Nevada. They had all these security cameras, and then all these security cameras just happened to go offline.
Really?
Yeah. And wow. And the official government website had to explain, this is it right here, Lindsay's pulling it up, why they went down. Register of voters live stream cameras, and they all of them happened to go down. And then cameras at 11:24 p.m. on the evening of November 9th, all the staff had left. And then, you know, it's like, why did they go down? And it was just like, oh, these are courtesy cameras and they're connected to a computer for live stream events. And then it just like, oh, it just kind of lost connection here and there, and that's why the cameras went dark. And they try to give all this explanation. And it's like, this is the most important night of the year, of probably, you know, of the last 3 years up until the last election. And you would think that you would want, like, everything to go as smooth as possible so there are no hiccups. And then it's like all these problems happen all over the country.
I honestly completely checked out on you know, what was it, like on Tuesday that all the voting went down? It was Tuesday, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I like, after I saw that Katie Hobbs was even or had more votes than Carrie Lake, I was like, this is completely ridiculous and there's no reason to watch the rest of this.
Yeah.
I just completely checked out. I was like, forget it, you know?
So, but anyway. Here's the...
Yeah, what are you going to say, Seth?
Well, I've got an important question, and it's really like, where do we go from here? I mean, this is really serious because, you know, with every election, they steal. They are putting more of their people in power. Right. And it's been happening for a long time, but it's getting more and more blatant and obvious.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's like, this isn't just politics. This isn't like your grandfather's politics.
Criminal activity.
Well, yeah, it's criminal activity, and it's like, this is the infiltration and subversion. This is foreign entities and governments and criminal factions and, you know, large global mafia factions that are basically taking over our country, like as we speak. And this is, you know, it's like the Bolsheviks in Russia. It's like the Red Guards in China. I mean, like, where do we go from this? Because I think that after, you know, like after 2020, that was when a lot of people really came to the realization that, wow, like there actually is legitimate election fraud. You know, like I think they've been cheating in elections in the United States for well over 100 years.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, if it's like right since the very beginning, you know, because it's like, you know, the people have power. They can have a corrupted power and they're gonna abuse it. So pardon me.
Or they just control both candidates.
Exactly. Exactly.
Doesn't matter who wins. We win no matter who. Yeah. You know, I mean,
so like when I look at this, you know, I'm trying to really ask myself, like, where does this go? You know what I mean? Like, you know, we and I'm not like recommending civil war or anything, but it's like, we as the American people, it's like, we've got our Second Amendment, we've got our First Amendment for the most part, and it's like, what do we do? What's the future? I mean, it's kind of like it's a little bit also of like an existential question, even, of like, how do we handle this and how do we move forward as a nation when our election system is so rigged that people like John Fetterman can get put into place.
You're not going to like what I think my answer.
Well, probably what I think too, but go ahead.
It generally speaking, and if you look at history, this is going to get worse and worse until something happens. Like, until people get pushed far enough to like, I mean, you know, start publicly complaining, which leads to other things potentially. Right. And, you know, there was a reason why the White House had a wall around it after November. You don't put a wall around the White House if you're not worried about something you did wrong.
It's so true.
Yeah. And because it's so like, true. It's plainly clear that the conservative folks had no intention of wrongdoing. The fact that all of those, you know, protests in D.C., went the way that they did, and like hardly anything happened until really there was, and this is evidenced by all kinds of reports, ones that the Epoch Times put down and others about January 6th, that there were federal agents there opening the gates, letting people in, and then sparking, you know, a conflict. So I just think that this is going to continue to get worse until finally, like, there's a breaking point and then something actually happens. And it's human beings like making their own bed here and they have to sleep in it, you know?
Yeah. I have to say that I agree, Rob. And that's right. It's like, I feel like that we're at the end of a system. We're at the end of a cycle.
It's Rome.
And yeah. And it's not just America. It's
It's the globally.
It's like globally. Like yeah. we're on the precipice of a very, very significant change.
It's like Atlantis sized magnitude change. And yeah. last time there was a flood. So yeah. let's hope that doesn't.
Exactly. I think this is like, I really believe that we're at a Noah's Ark moment, because even if you look at America, so there's a book that my wife is reading called Fruit from a Poisonous Tree. Hmm. And it was recommended to her or to me by Ann Vandersteel. And she was saying, it's just like, and she was raving about it. I guess General Flynn was talking to her about it. And it's basically like going into the history of America and how basically like we haven't, like what this guy literally says in his book is that we haven't, the Constitution hasn't been in effect like for, I think he said like since like sometime in the 1800s.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like that's when it actually got usurped. And so it's like, we're, if you look at where we're living and how we're living now, it's not like, you know, it's not like we have a system that broke and like you can fix it and rebuild it back to what it needs to be. It's like, it's almost like the body has cancer, and it's like, okay, maybe if you have cancer in like your lungs, you can go through a procedure to remove your right lung or whatever. But it's almost like the body of like every, like almost every system and structure in our world, right? Not every, but so many. Looking at even like the American system, like, you know, big pharma, like big government, big media, like big education. Like it's like the cancer is like in the bones now. And you can't, it's like you can no longer save this person. This person is going to die. And there's, it's like, so everyone's looking at like life support and everything, like let's keep them alive for like 5 more years, keep them alive. And it's like, we've been doing it for so long now. And the thing is that the same thing's happening with our currencies. Like I've got a few like really amazing interviews coming up talking about the global financial system, like the Western debt-based currency, like the entire Western financial system is literally on the edge of imploding. Like it's that serious. And so if you look at that in conjunction with the American system, it's like, I don't think it's fixable. Like, I really don't think it's fixable. Like, I think we should keep fighting. Yeah. And I think we have to keep fighting for what's good. And, you know, getting Trump back in office in 2024, that's a whole different discussion that we'll get into. But because I think that it's the process of fighting that shows our heart. And that's really important in this. And I think that the people that are fighting and sacrificing right now will be the ones that can help navigate humanity through this process. But I really feel like that over the next 5 or 10 years, and it just at the general time frame, that we're going to see the world that we know it, as we know it, collapse. And I don't mean that we're going to turn into Mad Max, where it's like almost everyone's dead. And
no, there's a future. Know,
there's a future. I think it's an amazing future, actually. Like, I really believe that, like, on the other side of whatever this tribulation is, whatever this collapse looks like, that it's going to be amazing. Like, think about the earth before and after the flood. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? Like, right. before the flood, it was probably like just an evil place to be. And the flood, like, after the flood, though, imagine how beautiful the earth was after the flood, right? After, like, God wiped out all this evil. But there's still a flood. Like, the flood is not comfortable. The flood changes everything about your way of life, right?
Sure does.
So,
yes.
You know, this is where I think that we're at. So when I look at the American political system, as part of me, it's like, you know, like it's like the whole house of cards has to fall down. The whole thing is off. Like, maybe we, you know, maybe in the future America's not even America anymore. Maybe it's something else. Maybe we're not even a constitutional republic anymore. Maybe there's something else. Maybe we go back to like, say, having emperors that are mandated by heaven, and it's like almost like ancient China.
Or,
I have no idea.
Or even like, okay, so, you know, they want to form their new world order, you know, which is under their control. But it's like, imagine if we had like a truly righteous government that was always thinking of the people, where if anything, you know, for example, like you're talking about with the emperor, Seth, you know, if like, Emperor Taizong, who was in the Tang Dynasty, you know, if his people suffered, he would literally have a conversation with God saying, what am I doing wrong as emperor? My people are suffering. It's a reflection of me. What do I need to do to change myself so my people don't suffer? How can I suffer on their behalf? And it's like, if you had righteous leaders like that, that were truly like cared about the people, think about it, we wouldn't have any wars. It's like everything would be peaceful and everything would be for the people, like truly for the people.
Is he wearing Yeezys? Those are awesome shoes. Sorry to interrupt you, Ben.
I just think that, you know, it's like, what is it going to take? It's really going to take leaders to take responsibility for what they're doing. But instead we have leaders that are, you know, all about themselves and being selfish and purposely creating conflict within us to make us fight. So there, because it's like, if you built your house of cards on lies and deceit and violence and lies, like similar, like what China did or, you know, Mao Zedong, that's it. You have to maintain violence, control, and lies to keep that house of cards afloat. Otherwise it's like, you know, otherwise it's going to come down and then everything's going to be exposed and you can't say, oh, well now I'll be good because you're not going to have power anymore. And as long as you want to have power, then you have to keep that up. And then I think that's exactly what we're seeing. So,
well, you guys, we're going to talk about Trump and DeSantis just in a moment. It's, you know, speaking of houses of cards here, we are talking about American politics tonight. But is all the controversy just keeping us distracted from bigger things going on in the world? You'll be really interested in the transhumanism series we have on Rise TV, which could be argued is their house of cards. So you'll see Ben and me set out on transhumanism tour to find the truth about programmable monkeys, but then we discover the explosive hidden history of eugenics, modern-day Terminator technology already existing, cyborgs, hybrids, DNA hacking, and social manipulation. Plus, you'll hear the complicated transhumanist agendas of famous figures like Darwin, Hitler, Elon Musk, Margaret Sanger, Jeffrey Epstein, Francis Crick, the Huxleys, and sentient robots. So check out this trailer for our Edge of Wonder series all about it.
Part ape. Part human hybrid. Cyborgs and Terminator technology. Already existing. Sentient robots becoming indistinguishable from people. No. It's not the plot of the newest Matrix movie. This is our reality. A transhumanist one. How does transcending humanism tie into eugenics, Darwinism, and even cloning? Is there any part of our world that transhumanism hasn't touched? Is resistance futile? How can we rage against the machine?
All right, Trump versus DeSantis. Seth, give us the juice. What's going on here?
Well, before we do, you guys just showed that transhumanism trailer. If I have time later in the show, I think I had the most insane conversation with this person about the transhumanism agenda and the vaccine. And I'll share it with you. It's an interview I'll be publishing. So it's this doctor. So if you guys remind me a little bit later, I'll get into that, but I don't want to distract from the main topic here. Cool. So Sounds cool. I mean, with Trump and DeSantis, there's some really strange things emerging. You know, one is that a lot of the mainstream people are really blaming Trump for the performance of the midterms and everything, but actually Trump's candidates did really well overall, the ones that he endorsed. But what you're also seeing you're seeing have happen here is you're seeing a lot of the, what I call like the conservative blue checks, right? The Matt Walsh's, the Ben Shapiro's, just a lot of those folks on Twitter that, you know, Steven Crowder, Candace Owens, that they're all of a sudden in varying degrees shifting their support from Trump to DeSantis, and some much more than others. And so what I'm seeing is that it seems like there is a strong narrative now to throw Trump under the bus and shift the focus on DeSantis.
Yeah, Cernovich too. Cernovich is another one.
Oh, yes, yeah, so he's a big one, which I've never trusted that guy, just for a few reasons. He was like pushing the masks like really heavy, like, come on, do your part, wear a mask. I was like, really? Like, this, anyway, that's a different story. But so, what I'm seeing is that there's basically like the establishment politicians hate Trump. And some people that I have connections to, and this is not just like, some secret connection, but people have told me that what they're hearing from Mar-a-Lago and what other, people in the DC are talking about is, I guess, that DeSantis has been meeting with Paul Ryan, McCarthy, potentially McConnell, about taking money from the GOP for a 2024 bid.
But those are all the rhinos.
Exactly. Yeah, well, those are the ones that control the purse strings.
You mean,
right?
He doesn't know that, right?
Well, he of course, right? So,
but he's also thinking of probably just like, well, how can I use these people for my benefit, which could, it's like, even if you're playing for the other team, but if you support me and I support the people,
well, that's,
we can still
true.
Do it that way, right?
And I want to give him the benefit of the doubt, but I'm like, what we've witnessed is that people will turn very, on a dime. You know what I mean? Like, look at, Barr, look at, all these different people, like look at Pence, Pence. We thought, okay, wow, like, I really like this guy. It's like, oh, okay. So now if I'm speaking hypothetical with this, like I would say hypothetically, DeSantis could be the ultimate tool to bring down Trump, right? Because, for one, I don't know specifically the specifics, but I know that from people I've talked to, DeSantis has definitely taken money from Big Pharma, right? And that's why, he talks about the vaccine, but he's not coming out like honestly about it, right? And no politician really is, like maybe a couple of the America First ones that are running.
Yeah.
So there's, but also what I've heard from some of the sources that I have that basically that DeSantis had to make a lot of deals to get to where he's at as a governor. And that there could have been some compromising situations that happened because of that, that maybe even though it seems like he's been someone that's completely kind of bucking the system, that could have also been all part of the overall plan. Because like we know that Trump was not one of them. And when Trump came in and he came down the escalator and he won in 2016, they did not want him to get in. And right. he really some other people that I've been talking to say that like he's the reason why they've had to push all the globalist agenda stuff up to like warp speed, why the CCP has gone from their goal of 2049 being when they want to take over America to like almost immediately. So Trump like really threw a gigantic wrench into the plans of the deep state. So he is one of their greatest enemies. Like we know that, right? And he has the support of we the people. And so it's like they will do anything. It's like anybody is better than Trump for them, especially if it's somebody that they can control. And so with DeSantis, I'm throwing out a complete hypothetical here, is if their goal was to basically to take Trump out, they would have to have a candidate that they could make the hero of America that's like almost rivals Trump. And if you think about what happened after Trump got removed from Twitter, he went dark for quite some time. He was really quiet. He wasn't coming out. He wasn't speaking. He wasn't doing his rallies. At that time, DeSantis really filled the void. Like DeSantis became the boss. Like he was like everywhere, like all the Patriots were like, I love DeSantis. He's amazing. Right. And maybe he legitimately was great for these things. I'm not making a judgment call. I'm just playing out a hypothetical. Right. But he could have been the one place where, he could have made these backdoor deals with the GOP or whoever and saying, look, they might say, look, we're going to let you be the hero of Florida, and you're going to really capture a large part of the Republican base because we need you to take down Trump in 2024. But if we put you in there, like, you know, your strings are still attached to us. And so this is why, like, what I see emerging here is what could potentially be a situation like that. Like, why is Trump now calling out DeSantis? I've also heard from some various folks that, you know, I can't get into the details of, that Trump has talked to DeSantis about in the past, this is months ago, about potentially running as his VP. And that, again, this is just this information I've heard through my own grapevine. So I'm not saying I've got some secret intel, but it's, again, but that I guess DeSantis kind of turned his nose up at it, right? Which really kind of like put him in the wrong place with Trump.
Well, and
so,
and, I mean, recognize your place here too. It's like there is no one who's more popular than Trump, regardless of people coming out saying things.
Yeah. Nobody.
Everybody is behind Trump. Like,
he's done from either side. The Democrats don't even, they don't even have anybody that's as close as popular as Trump, not even Obama. So, and Obama can't even run anyway, but it's like there's nobody, and everyone's so corrupt from the top down that anybody that they put in there just gets blasted.
The only running Obama is doing is away from Michael when she tries to beat him.
I guess so.
Him.
But, you know, so it's interesting because, you know, everyone's freaking out about what Trump wrote on his official website and on social media. We're not going to read the whole thing because it is pretty long. But honestly, I mean, he does, you know, he's like, Ron had low approval, bad polls, no money, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, you know, I endorsed him, I helped him. And then, you know, he's saying that, you know, he's kind of playing games, and the fake news, if they're asking him if he's gonna run for president, and he says he's only focused on the governor's race. But honestly, when you read the whole thing, I don't find it like like everyone's making it out as it's this massive attack against Ron DeSantis, but I don't read it that way. It's like he's talking about him, but I don't know. When I read it, I'm kind of more reading it as like, well, here's somebody that I really supported and it was a good friend of mine, but you know, he has his own ideas, and he's not like, I don't feel like he's blasting him. And everyone's like coming out saying like, oh, Trump is like really going hard over DeSantis. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. I think
the swamp has affected so many people on the right as well. And the Candace Owens of the world, the Cernoviches of the world, they are affected by this in different ways. Hannity, who is Trump's McEnany? McEnany, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kaylee, yeah. She, you know, even exchanges she was having with Sean Hannity during the election, like all of that stuff has come out. And it's like, these people too are extremely, like, they have no backbone really. You know, I'm not saying all of them. I'm just saying like a large portion of them don't. And Trump's like, he's on his own island. Like, he's been fighting on his own island.
It's true.
And he's going to keep doing it. And that's why people like him, is because if the world falls, Trump is still going to be like fighting. And you can count on that. And with a lot of these other folks, like, I don't see that. I don't see as strong of a presence from them. And it's kind of sad, actually. It's like more political. It's more fame based, you know, the things that they do. And then there's always money and stuff involved, you know, and it's like, well, what makes you better than the left then? I mean, really, it's like not much better.
Well, yeah. Well, and
there's the virtue, you know, like.
One other thing too is, I think that if you look at, if they did go head to head, like, I think that Trump would completely win. Trump is, he's like the people's president. You know, he is the, like, because I live out in the country. I have a lot of contractors coming through and, you know, doing various things on the property. And you know, I talk to a lot of different folks, and it's like, you can tell, like, these people, it's like Trump is just their guy. You know what I mean? Like, he's one of them. He's someone that's outside the establishment that stepped into the ring to fight for the people. And, you know, I was interviewing this guy, Chris Prosh, who's he's run like dozens of, campaigns, and he really understands politics. And he made a good point. He goes, look, Do you really think that Trump could travel to, or say that DeSantis could go to a place like Iowa and pack a stadium with 40,000 people? Like, do you really think that DeSantis, he's like, yes. He goes, look, DeSantis has this popularity in Florida.
In Florida.
He's, like, he's the country's best governor.
Yeah.
He goes, that's a mile, that's miles away from him being at the presidential level. Like, look at, and like, we've seen this. You, like, think of all the video you saw of these, like, train, of car caravans waiting for a Trump rally, the people, like, sleeping in tents. I mean, you know, not to mention, it's like Trump woke these people up. You know what I mean? So I think, and the other thing, too, actually, Chris mentioned, he said, look, he goes, Trump is a fundraising demigod. He said, no one's ever been able to fundraise like Trump. He goes, Trump will raise $1 billion in 4 months. He goes, DeSantis, if he's lucky, will get a couple hundred million out of the GOP war chest. Yes. He goes, Trump, you know, Trump can out fundraise him. And even in a debate, I mean, like, look, like, I think DeSantis is a sharp guy, but Trump is like, he's in a league
Trump's
of his own.
On a different level.
So he really is.
It's interesting because, so one of the things that Trump wrote in the article that he published, he says, the fake news asks him, Ron, are you going to run for president? And he's like, and then this is where he says, I'm only focused on the governor's race. I'm not looking to the future. And then Trump is writing, well, in terms of loyalty and class, that's really not the right answer. And I'm not really sure what he means by that. Does he want him to run or not run? The other thing that some people are suggesting, you know, in the community and what I've been kind of hearing is that maybe this is just kind of another way to get all the rhinos out in the open to figure out who's really who now. You know, obviously anybody that is 100% vocal for Trump is, you know, it's like they're really making a stance for him, which you're finding less and less Republicans doing that now. And it's like, well, you know, where are they really standing in all of this? So this is kind of interesting where it's like, okay, well, because I mean, in Trump's best candidate for vice president would be DeSantis, but you know,
you mean Ron DeSanctimonious?
Yeah. That was genius that he said that. I was like, oh my God, you know, imagine Biden trying to even say that word.
That's pretty funny. Yeah. Oh man.
Oh gosh. They would have to like, yeah, he was like trying to read from a teleprompter and he was having so many issues the other day.
Who, just, Biden?
Yeah, Biden was. Yeah. Wow,
surprise, surprise.
So crazy. But anyway, this is just like, yeah, I mean, this definitely has the whole entire Republican Party talking about this. And then, you know, then like a lot of the liberals on Twitter are like happy about this. Like Republican Civil War was trending earlier because everyone's like, oh, this is great. There's all this infighting now because they're losing the elections. And it's like, you guys are just stealing the elections. That's totally different.
Well, I mean, the crazy thing is it's really like there's two parties in our country. There's the left and the rhinos that are, you know, working. And I say, okay, so it's like the Democratic Party and the rhinos that are working to destroy this country as fast as possible. And then there's we the people and Trump.
Yep.
Like these are this is the division. You know what I mean?
The division.
Like this is it.
Yep.
It's kind of like pro-communist, anti-communist. Very clear division.
Yeah.
And I mean, not to say that, you know, say someone says, look, I support DeSantis instead of Trump. Like, I respect that. And I'm not saying that if you don't support Trump, you're communist. What I'm saying is that this is the dividing line. You know what I mean? And look, if this continues and if the rhinos like Paul Ryan, like if Mitt Romney comes out and endorses Ron DeSantis, it's like, to me, like, well, perfect, you know, perfect case. Actually, Lindsay, we should play this commercial. So the Lincoln Project, who are literally a bunch of pedophiles.
Oh, my goodness.
Literally. Yeah. They, and like, they were so anti-Trump. They're like the Media Matters of the right, basically. They just dropped this ad, which is basically a massive endorsement of DeSantis. So check out this video. Wow. It's a 30-second spot.
It's hard to watch, isn't it, Donald? Ron DeSantis betrayed you to become a star, raising millions by stealing your act. winning straw polls and fans. They're running to Ron, and Ron's running against you. You made him, and he betrayed you. He's laughing at you, running against you. He's taking everything from you, and by the time you fight back, it will be too late. Sad.
What? That wasn't even that good of a commercial.
It's weird, though.
Horrible. Weird. I mean, did DeSantis like approve that commercial? I don't.
I mean, it's just their way. Obviously, they're trying to stir things up. But again, like, yeah, this is one of the co-founders. Like, we say they're a bunch of pedophiles. I wasn't lying. I wasn't just saying that because it was like, you know, like a stab at somebody. Literally, like the co-founder got.
Wow.
You know. Yeah, like this dude was kind of like diddling boys and stuff.
Oh my gosh, yeah. And oh wow, it does say that in this 14-year-olds they were soliciting. Wow, that's insane. And then on top of that, they're advising John McCain. We all know
exactly what
John McCain was doing.
Yeah. So you know, all of these things just confirm to me that like if I had to pick between the two of them, I'd go with Trump because I think that he's not controlled by the deep state. Not that like I'm saying DeSantis is, but it's all the indicators. Do you know what I mean? DeSantis, and all the people.
Or they have.
DeSantis should have known his role. Like he would have done much better if he just became vice president underneath Trump. And then he would have a completely natural extension to the presidency.
You could have 12 years in the White House.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
Well, or they have something on him. And that's one aspect, you
I
know,
don't
or,
think so, though,
or this is all show
hard as he was.
I think if they had something on him, honestly, it would have already came out by now.
Well, no, but the thing is, though, is that like, here's the argument. They want him to go hard. They want him to be the perfect solution to Trump. So even if they had something on him, well, I know the thing like is that like even if they had something on him, they might still want him to be like the best governor America's ever seen because that increases his chance of being able to
Trump. You know? I think for them, anybody but Trump is better. It's easier to deal with. You know, that might just be the case. It's like
exactly
anybody, even Ron, who has, you know, I mean, Miami voted for him for the first, like it went red for the first time since 2002. So, you know, so like the whole entire state of Florida was basically red. So that just shows you that something, you know, something is going on. And honestly, if there wasn't cheating involved, I guarantee you we would see California become red because I think so many people are so fed up about what's going on out there.
And New York and Michigan.
I mean,
in America.
I honestly think so many more things are red than anyone knows.
I 100% agree. I think so too. And it's like Trump didn't lose support. He gained support since the election. I mean, Seth, even you voted for Hillary Clinton. So it's like,
yeah, in 2016, I wasn't following politics. I literally just like, I could care less. And, you know, she looked like less of a threat to me. I wasn't following this stuff, you know? Yeah. I think within about 6 months, like everything really hit me. I was like, oh my goodness. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. I agree. And so, I think it's like they can't. Trump has so much power. I mean, Trump just needs to say someone's name and that person wins. That's why do not believe Oz won. Or, I mean, I'm sorry, lost. Fetterman. I don't believe Fetterman won. I truly believe Oz won because Trump was supporting him. So, you know, and granted, it's like, it's hard not to have a politician with some kind of background. I mean, it's almost impossible to find somebody who's like super clean, you know, on everything because most people get to where they are by doing bad things. Like that's just how the system is designed and how
it's like
it
Hollywood.
Works.
You don't get to be an A-list celebrity, you know, if you didn't. And again, this is what makes me. Yeah. Well, this is what makes me wonder, like when you see all these people like the Ben Shapiro, the Candace Owens, you know, a lot of these, like how these people all get so famous. They're all still on Twitter. They all still on YouTube. Like they're not blocked by the YouTube algorithms. Like they're growing massively. And that's yet true. They're so, and again, I don't know for sure, but like the Charlie Kirks, like all these people, you know, how did they?
It's interesting.
so yeah. famous. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like,
yeah.
Well, and you guys, we have to get to the dig deep, you guys. So speaking about the Rumble between DeSantis and Trump, we're about to leave Rumble and go over to Rise.TV, where we'll get to most people's favorite part of the show. First, we'll have a dig deep Q&A where you can ask us your questions directly. Then we'll have the top 10 weird news of the week with stories on murderous VR technology, Bigfoot, time travel, and much, much more. So join us on Rise.TV for just $9.99 a month and support our work. And don't forget that your support really lets us do these deep dives and bring you guys the truth that the censors don't want you to hear. Now, speaking of blood-sucking politicians, check out this trailer on Vlad the Impaler and then join us on Rise.TV.
Want to hear something spooky? Why do the royals love Vlad the Impaler? What's so special about Transylvania? And why can't Queen Elizabeth eat garlic? What if tales of vampires didn't begin with Dracula? What if their origins go much, much deeper? To a secret order. The Order of the Dragon. How has this order lurked in the shadows? Did they fly away into the night? Or perhaps they've been hiding in plain sight for millennia? How are bloodlines, serial killers, and vampires tied to Vlad the Impaler? And what bone-chilling details could have to do with the end of the world? Join Edge of Wonder as we reveal all their secrets. For the Halloween series conclusion of Vlad the Impaler, only on edgeofwonder.tv. Blah.